I Got Served. A story written by Alfred Kojo Opiah. Chapter 3. Trials, tears, and turning points. Building Chop Serve was like walking barefoot on thorns. It started with the energy of a dream and the light of a spark, but reality quickly smacked them both in the face. Kojo and Omar, armed with a pitch deck made in Canva and a passion they could barely explain, knocked on door after door. And each time, the answer was the same. Too risky. Unregulated. No scalability. Some laughed. Others looked at them with pity. A few even offered advice that felt more like insults. One investor went as far as to say, "This is Africa. No one is ordering fufu on an app." Kojo nearly gave up. The rejection chipped away at his confidence, piece by piece. But Omar had a spine of steel. She was determined, focused, and quietly fierce. Where Kojo saw rejection, she saw redirection. "Let's do a pilot," she said one night after yet another failed pitch. "Even if it's just 3 kitchens and 10 customers." So they did. They borrowed money from friends, a few cities here and there. Kojo's old university roommate, a ride-hailing driver, gave him 200 Ghanaian cedis and said, "Bro, make it work." Omar pulled favors from her tech community, convincing a junior developer to help build a basic landing page in exchange for meals and mentorship. Their MVP, minimum viable product, was clunky but functional. Auntie Tina was their first vendor. 2 other women, Mama Essie, known for her unbeatable groundnut soup, and Sister Akua, a rising star in the Banku game, signed up. Alma shot videos of the women cooking, edited them with background music, and uploaded them to the site. Kojo printed flyers and handed them out near office complexes, betting shops, and student hostels. The orders trickled in, 5 the first week, 11 the next. Then, out of nowhere, a university student posted a photo of her fufu delivery on Twitter with the caption, "Just had the best fufu of my life delivered by this new app. Chop Serve, where have you been all my life?" The tweet blew up. Over 8,000 likes, 2,000 retweets. That tweet was the matchstick in a forest of dry leaves. Bloggers picked up the story. YouTube food vloggers ordered and reviewed the meals. One said, "It tastes like my grandma's food. I didn't even know I missed this." Within days, local radio stations called. TV3 ran a short segment. Even Hits FM invited Kojo and Omar to speak on their morning show. The attention was surreal. Investors who had ignored their emails now wanted meetings. Some even tried to take credit for the idea. The irony was almost comical. But with growth came the storm. Not everyone was ready. One vendor delivered late because her gas finished mid-cooking. Another mixed up 2 orders, sending vegetarian jollof to a meat lover and egusi to someone with allergies. Then it got worse. A customer claimed she got food poisoning. She posted about it online. It went viral, just like the fufu post, but in the worst way. The comment section exploded. Some accused Chop Serve of negligence. Others defended them. The brand was under fire. Omar broke down that night. They had just returned from a long day of vendor onboarding. She sat on the floor of their tiny apartment, her laptop open and notifications buzzing non-stop. "I can't do this," she said, voice trembling. "We are losing control." Kojo didn't have answers. He just sat beside her. They ended up outside on a roadside bench under a 40 streetlight, watching life pass by in silence. "We are not just building a business," he finally said. "We are building trust. We'll figure it out." That was a turning point. They went back to the drawing board. First, they created a vendor training program. Omar designed easy-to-follow infographics on hygiene, food handling, and packaging. Kojo visited every kitchen personally to ensure compliance. Second, they introduced a rating system. Every customer could now rate meals based on delivery time, taste, hygiene, and packaging. Vendors who scored consistently low were put on probation or delisted. Third, they implemented real-time delivery tracking. With the help of a local logistics startup, customers could now watch their food arrive, minute by minute. These changes weren't just reactions, they were reinforcements. Every pain became a process. Every complaint a course correction. The weeks that followed were tough. Some vendors dropped out. Kojo and Omar argued often about expansion, about standards, about money. But something kept them going. Hope. And maybe a little madness. Then came their first major breakthrough. A diaspora food blog based in the UK listed ChopServ as one of the top 10 African food delivery platforms to watch. That mention brought a wave of international curiosity. Orders flooded in from customers wanting to buy meals for their families back home. Ghanaians abroad began sending ChopServ meals as gifts to loved ones. The platform was no longer just local. It was becoming global. One evening, as Kojo walked past Auntie Tina's kitchen, he saw something that made him pause. She was counting money and laughing with two young girls, her daughters. The younger one hugged her, and she smiled like a woman who had just gotten her dignity back. Kojo swallowed a lump in his throat. This wasn't about fufu anymore. It was about futures. Back home, he found Alma working on the vendor dashboard UI. "Hey," he said. She looked up, tired but present. "We are going to be okay," he told her. Alma nodded. "I know. Because we are finally serving more than food." From trials and tears, they found their turning point, not just in the system, but in themselves. The fire that nearly burned them down became the light that led the way. ChopServ was alive. And so were they.